How is everybody doing on this morning? Everybody looking good, I can say that. Excuse me for a minute. Is this too loud? Is this too loud? Okay, because you know I get loud sometimes, you know, that's all. Well, it's a blessing and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord again. Especially with my brothers and my sisters. As you can see, I am not Mr. Marcel, and he asked me to step in. He's out of town, so be praying for him and his wife as they are out of town. I know we've been in the book of Hebrews. He has. We're going to shift from that a little bit today. We're going to touch on a few things in Hebrews, but it's not going to be our focus, the whole message. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, how good, how great that you are. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you that you have allowed us to come together as brothers and sisters to fellowship around your word. Father, I would ask on this morning that you would use me as your vessel, Lord. I ask that you would speak through me, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you don't allow me to say anything that is misleading or not true, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit be manifested in this place. Prepare all of our hearts and our minds to receive a word from you. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, y'all got to talk back to me when you can, okay? I'm a little different. I'm not Marcel. I'm a little different, so I need a little bit of talking back, too. Is there anybody here that's ever felt hopeless? It seems like nobody cares about anything that's going on in your life. It seems like the bottom has falling out. You begin to ask yourself, what is it that I'm living for? Nothing really makes a difference anyway. It feels like life is crashing down on you and you just want to give up. Brothers and sisters, hope is a very important thing. Hope is something that every blood-washed believer has, and if they don't have it, there is a major disconnect in their walk with God. There are far too many of us who call ourselves Christians, and we walk around hopeless. No hope about your marriage. No hope about your kids. Your children, your health, your future and your finances. We began to ask ourselves questions like, am I ever going to get where I'm supposed to be? Am I ever going to get it right? Don't misunderstand me. I want you to know that these things ought not to be. That's not living. That's just existing. And I'm not saying that we're not going to have our trials and our tribulations. We're not going to have our problems. We're not going to go through stuff. Because we will have those times in our life. But this morning I come and I want to remind you of a promise of God through Jeremiah the prophet. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. A well-known verse. And the Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let me read that again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is a verse that many of us quote, but I believe that many of us get forgetful, or we get sidetracked and allow the devil to creep in, or we, in our own pride and selfishness, allows ourselves to sometimes lose hope. We allow our current situations or circumstances to dictate our hope. My brothers and my sisters, I come to tell you that this morning that sometimes things may be looking mighty bad, but there's hope. And on this morning, I want us to consider, what is hope? What exactly is hope? What's hope all about? In this day and age, we hear hope. When we hear hope, it's when people say stuff like, I hope it don't rain, or I hope the Cubs win. I hope I get a raise. I hope, I hope, I hope. You get the picture, right? This is not hope, my brothers and sisters. That's not what hope is. It's not real biblical hope anyway. This is more than, nothing more than wishful thinking for something good to happen. Our hope is not the same hope as the world hopes. It's not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is confident expectation, a confident expectation that's something you can count on or look forward to. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's turn over there. You get there, say amen. Amen, amen. And we're going to read it starting at verse 23. And Paul says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Paul says that we, along with all of creation, groans together like in childbirth. And this is because of the fall. We all have been made subject to the curse of sin coming into the world. But now we wait eagerly and patiently for adoption as sons. This is what we hope in. We were saved by the same hope. We can't see it, but we know it's there. We know it to be true. Paul says if it was our situations, circumstances, or predicaments, something we can see, it wouldn't be hope at all. So as a blood-washed believer, we hope for what we can't see. And we wait patiently for it. So let's back up for a minute. We started with Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So let's back up for a minute and let's take a look at our Old Testament example in that book. In the book of Jeremiah, the kingdom of Judah was in a bad place. The bottom had fallen out for them. Most of them were slaves in bondage, held in hostage in Babylon. They were enslaved and in bondage because of their disobedience to God, and they had refused to repent. And this was going on from the least of them to the greatest of them. So God brought about judgment on them. They was in a state of hopelessness, a hopeless situation, far away from God, enslaved by pagans, hardened hearts, no hope. They could see no way out. All through the book, you see the evil. You see the broken covenant. You see famine and you see the sword and death. You even see their own prophets, priests and teachers lying to them. Things are looking mighty bad for Judah. Then all of a sudden, we get to chapter 29 and verse 11. And it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope." Maybe God is speaking to you today. Or maybe God is trying to reveal something to you to take to somebody else. God told Judah, he says, "I know it's bad right now. I know your back is against the wall. Yeah, I know you can't see a way out." But brothers and sisters, God is reminding us on this morning that he knows the plans he has for us, just like he knew the plans he had for them. God has a plan for our life, and it's for good and not for evil. He has plans to give us a future and a hope. That ought to make us rejoice. We should feel real good about that. I got hope. And you got hope. Do you believe that? Do you know that to be true? This promise that God has given, are you holding on to it? Well, some of us may say, "Well, I don't feel like I have hope. I feel hopeless." So what is this hope that God is talking about? First of all, when we look at hope, hope is about a promise. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's get over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to go down to the 18th verse. Hebrews chapter 6. Down to the 18th verse. The Bible reads, "So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement, hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot right there. And let's see if we can unpack it a little bit. Here, the writer is speaking about a promise, and not just a promise, but the promise. The promise that God made to Abraham. And as children of Abraham, a promise that he made to you and I. If you back up to verses 13 and 14, Abraham shows us he is an example of faith and patience and patiently waiting on God's promise. Then in verse 16 and 17, God confirms the promise, but not only that, he makes an oath on that promise. Then that brings us to our verse 18. He confirms his oath by swearing by himself. We have two immutable things, God's word and God's oath. And since God is all powerful and he can't lie, we know that he will fulfill his promises. This we cling to, or we run for refuge in, and it brings us encouragement, or it should. Encouragement to hold fast to this hope that's set before us. The writer says that this is a sure anchor for our souls. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that our hope is secure in who? Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is why we can sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This is why we sing that. It's not something just to make us, that sounds good or to make us feel good, but it's truth. It's truth. Hope is consequently an expectation or a belief in the fulfillments of God's promise. Biblical hope is hope in what God will do in the future. And at the heart of every believer, our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as a believer, we are not to be hopeless. There's no such thing as hopelessness. We can't be hopeless. If we're hopeless, there's a problem going on. There is a huge disconnect with us and with God. Look at what Paul says here. Paul says in the second chapter of Ephesians, he says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So, as a believer, there can't be hopelessness, because as a non-believer, they have no hope. This is why we even mourn differently from non-believers, because we have hope. And our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So that brings us to our hope, biblical hope, a believer's hope. It's hope in a person. And that person is who? Jesus Christ. Y'all got to talk back to me when you can. Hope is not in a season we're going through in our life. It's not in our job, our spouses. It's not even wrapped up in how we feel. No. No. You get folk all the time, but you just don't understand how that make me feel. I would say if Paul was from the hood, he would say, put your feelings in your pocket. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. This is not where our hope lies. No. Our hope is wrapped up in a person. The person of Jesus Christ. The writer of Lamentations knew this, and I believe it to be Jeremiah when he penned in chapter 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Could anybody say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I believe the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah knew hope was in a person when he penned in chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. He says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Can we say that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I believe that if we fast forward and we look at the Apostle Paul, I would say that he was not confused when he writes to Timothy in the first chapter, the first verse of 1 Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Paul was not confused. He knew where his hope lied. He knew who his hope was. Is there anybody here who can say that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? There's no such thing for a blood-washed believer to be hopeless. If we are hopeless, we need to check our faith thermometer. We need to check where we line up with God. Yeah, I know sometimes it get bad. I know sometimes wives and husbands argue and fight. I know sometimes my kids ain't acting right. My job is treating me like not treating me like I deserve to be treated. I'm in a bad season, a rough spot. My health is failing me. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We cannot be confused by that. We must place our hope in the right person, in the right promise. Because God is not like man. He cannot and will not lie. I'll bring this thing to a close, and we're again going to look at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at chapter 15, beginning at the 8th verse. Paul pens, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, The root of Jesse will come. Even he who raises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, every blood-washed believer, may abound in hope. Saints of God, sometimes in our life, when things are looking mighty bad and our back's against the wall and we don't know which way to go, remember, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Any questions, concerns, or comments? We got a little more time. Anybody want to add anything they want to add or share? Not all at once. We got 15 minutes.
You know, I'm a happy person because I do have hope.
Amen.
Without it, I would feel very bad.
Yes. Yeah, you will feel bad without hope. And even if you feel bad, will you still have hope? That is the question. That is where the disconnect come in. A lot of us, oftentimes when we go through stuff in our life, and because of how we feel, because it hurts, we're downtrodden, we're beat on, we let our feelings dictate our hope. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. Our hope is not in our feelings. Our hope is not in our circumstances or situations. Amen? If we can keep that at the forefront of our minds, then that makes the trials and tribulations that we go through that much easier. That makes us persevere and push on through, because we got our hope in the right place, in the right person. God has made a promise to us. This world is not our home. We're just passing through.
You know, for me, it's easy to have hope when things are going bad, because I look to Christ. But when I started experiencing something, everything going good now, then I get fearful.
Very good point. It's a very good point. So when things are going good in our life, do we consider the hope that we have? Do we? Amen. Things may be looking mighty bad, but I have hope.
I think Satan just tries to tempt us when he knows we take our eyes off the Lord. He tries to tempt us any day with anything. Just tries to tempt us, you know, frustration, fear, make you feel you're alone. And we're not alone. We're not alone. But he tries to tempt us.
Yeah, he does.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. He does.
So where's our faith? It's a good test of our faith.
It is.
I tell myself, Bill, when you're driving the car, stay on the road. Look at Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the road. Okay. Look to him. Not what I can do. It's not what I can do. What can I do by myself? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to back up to what Joaquin said. He said that oftentimes it's the opposite extreme, especially for believers. When we're going through tough times and tribulations and problems, you know, then we cling to and we hold on to that hope. But when things are going good, I want us to consider what are we doing when things go good? Are we reflecting on the promise that we have or the hope that we have? What state of mind or what place does that put us in when we're thinking and talking about hope?
Yeah, that is accurate what Joachim was saying. In my life, and I've noticed in everybody else's lives, when we do that, we're putting our hope in the wrong place. We're putting our hope in, you know, our circumstances, the things are going well. We're putting our hope in our, we're exalting ourselves is what it is. It's, mm-hmm. it's a manifestation of pride. We think that we had something to do quite often with how well things are going. And then when things take a turn, all of a sudden we get condemned.
Yes.
You know, and it's all because originally we took our eyes off Christ.
Yes.
Like what was shared. You know, our hope is on nothing else but Christ.
Yes.
I have learned over and over again that I need a Savior today.
Today.
Yeah. I need a Savior today. My hope, I'm hopeless and helpless today.
Yes.
Unless my hope is in Christ.
Yes.
And He is at work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure.
That's right.
He's at work in us, and that is the reason why we can work the salvation that He's put in us out by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's the only reason we can live this life.
Amen.
We cannot live. It's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible.
Mm.
You can't. You cannot walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it unless you're depending on God's Spirit within you to motivate you and to keep your eyes focused on Christ.
Amen.
And so when our eyes are focused on Him, we're walking in the Spirit. And and that generates hope, real hope, because real scriptural hope is not just what we think of as hope. I hope.
Right. That's right.
Something might happen,
that's
could
right.
happen. No. Scriptural hope is settled. It's secure. It's secured in Christ.
Right.
It's secured by His death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
And it's secured in His promises, which are totally faithful.
Yes.
So, you know, our hope is totally secure.
Yes. Yes. Amen. It is. Our hope is secure. It is a confident expectation. It is not wishful thinking or thinking something is going to happen, but knowing without a shadow of a doubt that God has given us His word and an oath, two immutable things, that the promise is going to come true. That's hope.
One thing that I wanted to share is that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, I learned this verse in the King James. I'm going to read this in the ESV, but it says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." And I think as, especially in America, we're kind of sold the lie that when things are good and when things are comfortable, that is where we attach our hope to. And I don't read a lot in Scripture where a lot of men and women that were pursuing Christ and pursuing God were super comfortable, or because their hope going through the trials and tribulations and persecution that most of us may never experience, their hope lied in Christ, in setting their minds on what was to come instead of temporary comfortability or temporary contentment in things. It's easy to be horizontally minded. That's easy because we can see it. We can touch it. We can feel it. We can smell it. We can look at it and observe it. But the things that are above are much harder to set our hope on because we cannot see them. We cannot necessarily touch them.
Amen.
And that's where the struggle lies for all of us, is are we looking horizontal or vertical?
Vertical. Amen. 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 Anybody else? So, in closing, I will say it again. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So therefore, all of us here will stand on Christ, the solid rock. We will look vertical instead of looking horizontal. Not in our situations, not in our feelings, not in our circumstances. Nothing in our own self that we can or cannot do. But in the promise of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder that you have given us, Lord. This reminder that we need the gospel every single day of our life. This reminder that hope is not in us or our situations or circumstances, anything that we're going through or how we feel, Lord. Thank you for making us a promise. Thank you, Lord, for making an oath on that promise. Thank you for giving us Christ so that we could rest our hope in him. Thank you for making Christ our hope. Father, I would ask that you help us to keep these things at the forefronts of our minds, Lord. Cause us not to be forgetful. Cause us not to be lackadaisical. Cause us, Lord, to always consider our hope. Your word, Lord, is a way that we can build our hope and strengthen our hope. And I would ask, Lord, that you would prompt us to meet with you more and more. In our private places, in our corporate places, in your word, Lord. Reveal to us, Lord, any areas that we may have that we need to give to you, Lord, where we're not trusting you, where we're trying to take care of things ourselves, Lord. Remind us that our hope is built on you. Don't let us leave the same way we came, Lord. Give us a new perspective. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.